So it's still already 1938, the end of her life. Of course, she didn't know the time, but she was very sick already. I'll repeat a little bit. The 28th January, 38th. Today the Lord said to me, "My daughter, write out these words. All those souls who will glorify my mercy and spread its worship, encouraging others to trust in my mercy, will not experience terror at the hour of death." That means promise of good death. "My mercy will shield them in the final battle." So we have to spread the divine mercy. Also, first of all, you believe in the divine mercy and you trust in the divine mercy first of all. "My daughter, encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given to you. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying the chaplet. When hardened sinners say it, I will fill their souls with peace, and the hour of their death will be a happy one." So don't wait till the end of the time, your life, until you say the chaplet of divine mercy, you know. It's happy. Do you say it every day?
Yes.
Huh? Every day?
Yes.
What time?
2 o'clock.
Of course, better, but not sometimes you might forget, no? Huh? That means many times. Every hour, many times, every hour. Happy death. That's okay. To prepare ourselves, don't worry. "Write this for the benefit of distressed soul. When a soul sees and realizes the gravity of his sins, when the whole abyss of the misery into which it immersed itself is displaced before his eyes, let it not despair, but with trust that it throw itself into the arms of my mercy, as a child into the arms of his beloved mother. These souls have a right of priority to my compassionate heart. They have first access to my mercy. Tell them that no soul that has called upon my mercy has been disappointed or brought to shame. I delight particularly in a soul which has placed its trust in my goodness. Write that when they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful savior." At that moment, the Lord gave me to know how zealous he is of my heart. "Even among the sisters, you will feel lonely. Know then that I want you to unite yourself more closely to me. I am concerned about every beat of your heart. Every stirring of your love is reflected in my heart. I thirst for your love." Because God's love is pure love. We can't imagine. We are selfish. We don't think in this way. But Jesus really, so uniquely, for you, for nothing else. Your heartbeat is his heartbeat. Her words, "Yes, O Jesus, but my heart would not be able to live without you either. For even if the hearts of all creatures were offered to you, they would not satisfy the depths of my heart. Today, toward evening, the Lord said to me, entrust yourself completely to me at the hour of death." So he's preparing her for death. and I will present you to my father as my bride. And now I recommend that you unite in a special way even your smallest deeds of to my merits, and then my father will look upon them with love as if they were my own. Do not change a particular examen which I have given you through Father Andres, namely that you unite yourself with me continually. That is what I am clearly asking of you today. Be a child towards my representatives, confessors, because I borrow their lips to speak to you, so that you will have no doubts about anything. That's how God works. It's not the merits of the priest. It's a mystery. Sacrament's a mystery. My health has improved somewhat. I went down to the refectory and the chapel today. I still cannot resume my duties, and so I stay in my cell at the hanum, making borders of the altar linens. I enjoy this work very much, but still, even with such light work, I tire easily. I see how feeble I am. There are no indifferent moments in my life, since every moment of my life is filled with prayer, suffering, and work. If not in one way, then in another, I glorify God. And if God were to give me a second life, I do not know whether I would make better use of it. The Lord said to me, I'm delighted with your love. Your sincere love is as pleasing to my heart as the fragrance of a rosebud at the morning time, before the sun has taken the dew from it. The freshness of your heart captivates me. That is why I unite myself with you more closely than with any other creature. Today, I saw the efforts of this priest, Father Sopoko, concerning the affairs of God. His heart is beginning to taste that which filled God's heart during his earthly life. In recompense of his efforts, in gratitude, but he is very zealous for the glory of God. January 30th, 1938, one day retreat. The Lord gave me to know during meditation that as long as my heart beats in my breast, I must always strive to spread the kingdom of God on earth. I'm to fight for the glory of my Creator. I know that I will give God the glory He expects of me if I try faithfully to cooperate with God's presence, with God's grace. I want to live in the spirit of faith. I accept everything that comes my way as given me by the loving will of God, who sincerely desires my happiness. And so I will accept with submission and gratitude everything that God sends me. I pay no attention to the voice of nature and to the promptings of self-love. Before each important action, I will stop to consider for a moment what relationship it has to eternal life and what may be the main reason of my undertaking it. Is it for the glory of God, or for the good of my own soul, or for the good of the souls of others? If my heart says yes, then I will not swerve from carrying out the given action, unmindful of either obstacles or sacrifices. I will not be frightened into abandoning my intention. It is enough for me to know that it is pleasing to God. On the other hand, if I learn that action has nothing in common with what I've just mentioned, I will try to elevate it to a loftier sphere by means of a good intention. And if I learn that something flows from my self-love, I will cancel it outright from the start. In case of doubt, I will not act, but will scrupulously seek clarifications from the priest, and in particular from my spiritual director. I will not give explanations on my own behalf when someone reproaches me or criticizes me, unless I am directly asked to bear witness to the truth. Keep silent. With great patience, I will listen when others open their hearts to me, accept the sufferings, give them spiritual comfort, but grant my own sufferings in the most merciful heart of Jesus. I will never leave the depths of His mercy while bringing the whole world into those depths. In the meditation on death, I ask the Lord to deign to fill my heart with those sentiments which I will have at the moment of my death. And through God's grace, I receive an interior reply that I had done what was within my power and so could be at peace. At the moment, such profound gratitude to God was awakened in my soul that I burst into tears of joy like a little child. I prepare to receive Holy Communion next morning as Viaticum, and I said the prayers of the dying for my own intention. Then I heard the words, "As you are united with me in life, so will you be united at the moment of death." After these words, such great trust in God's great love, mercy was awakened in my soul that even if I had had the sins of the whole world, as well as the sins of all the condemned souls weighing on my conscience, I would not have doubted God's goodness, but without hesitation would have thrown myself into the abyss of the divine mercy, which is always open to us. And with a heart crushed to dust, I would have cast myself at His feet, abandoning myself totally to His holy will, which is mercy itself. O my Jesus, life of my soul, my life, my Savior, my sweetest bridegroom, and at the same time my judge, you know that in these last hours of mine, I do not count you. O my Jesus, life of my soul, my life, my Savior, my sweetest bridegroom, and at the same time, my judge. You know that in this last hour of mine, I do not count on any merits of my own, but only on your mercy. Even as of today, I immerse myself totally in the abyss of your mercy, which is always open to every soul. O my Jesus, I have only one task to carry out in my lifetime, in death, and throughout eternity, and that is to adore your incomprehensible mercy. No mind, either of angel or of man, will ever fathom the mysteries of your mercy, O Lord. The angels are lost in amazing amazement before the mystery of divine mercy, but cannot comprehend it. Everything that has come from the Creator's hand is contained in this inconceivable mystery. That is to say, in the very depths of his tender mercy, when I meditate on this, my spirit swoons and my heart dissolves in joy. O Jesus, it is through your most compassionate heart, as through a crystal, that the rays of divine mercy has come to us. It's so clear, uniting the love of God. February 1st, 1938. Today, I'm feeling a little worse physically, but I'm still taking part in the common life, prayers, meals, and recreation. I'm making great efforts, long to you alone. Jesus, in the refectory today, I do not think I will last until the end of the meal. Every mouthful causes me extreme pain. When Sister Irene visited me a week ago, she said, "You catch every sickness because your system is so weak. But that is not your fault. In fact, if any other sister had that same sickness, she would certainly be walking around, whereas you, sister, must stay in bed." These words did not hurt me, but it is better not to make such comparisons with very sick persons, because their cup is full enough as it is. Another thing, when sisters visit the sick, they should not ask in detail every time, "What is hurting you and how does it hurt?" Because it is very tiresome to keep telling each sister the same thing about oneself. And it sometimes happens that one must repeat the same thing over and over many times a day. So many people, good heart and concern the sick and ask so many things, repeating. For them, it's repeating. When I had gone to the chapel for a moment, the Lord gave me to know that among his chosen ones, there are some who are especially chosen and whom he calls to a higher form of holiness, to exceptional union with him. These are seraphic souls from whom God demands greater love than he does from others. Although all live in the same convent, yet he sometimes demands of a particular soul a greater degree of love. Such a soul understands this call because God makes this known to it interiorly. But a soul may either follow this call or not. As you, maybe call you in a particular way to follow him. Everybody in this different way. You will take it easy, don't care. Jesus give you all the freedom. But if you feel you're specially called for your sanctity, for your own holiness, working something harder, it's up to you to say yes or not. It depends on the soul itself, whether it is faithful to these touches of the Holy Spirit or whether it resists them. You're free. You're so free before the Lord. Don't oblige to do anything, but with just pure heart, for the glory of God, for his mercy. Give him thanks. That's all. Nobody knows. Doesn't matter. I have learned that there is a place in purgatory where souls who pay the debt to God for such transgressions. This kind of torment is the most beautiful of all, because God is calling you and you just reject. And you have to do compensation in purgatory. So, always hardship. So, very serious, eh? All the grace is given. If you do reject, of course, go to others. But you have to suffer a little bit more in purgatory. because you take the grace. You look down on God's grace. You look down on God's love. That means you don't have enough love. So purgatory, to purify your love, you don't love enough. It's purified. You don't respond because you don't love enough. The soul which is specially marked by God will be distinguished everywhere, whether in heaven or in purgatory or in hell. In heaven will be distinguished from other souls by greater glory and radiance and deeper knowledge of God. Even in heaven, those who love God more, and they have a different degree of understanding of God's love. In purgatory, by greater pain, because it knows God more profoundly and desires Him more vehemently. In hell, it will suffer more profoundly than other souls because it knows more fully whom it has lost. That in this indelible mark of God's exclusive love in the soul will not be obliterated. So what's given, and your soul knows how much God loves you and how much you love God back. You know to what degree. Nobody understands that you know yourself. You choose. That you have the freedom. Oh Jesus, keep me in holy fear, you see, so that I may not waste graces. So sometimes some of fear is not bad. Even you don't love, but you have the fear of God, and then you do the will of God much rather better than, you know. You say, I don't feel. Okay, don't feel. But you know that God's choosing you. Don't close your eye. It is our fear. Yes, not. The motivation is not very good. But at least you do it. You know, the gospel says, no, the father asked two children, no, two sons. You want to do it? No, no. The other one, yes, yes, yes. And then the one, no, no, does it. And the one, yes, yes, didn't do it. You see? Better you say no and then you do it, rather than you say yes and don't do it. So simple. Simple logic. No. Jesus thing is very simple. It's in your hand. This is your hand. You have the choice. You have the freedom, complete freedom. From today, start to learn this logic things. We are called to be better and better and better and better. We are called to the holiness as God the Father is holy. Not just something, someone, not just imitate some saints. Oh, I live like St. Francis already very good. But you're not Francis. You're Margaret, for example. You should live more than Francis, in your own way. Oh Jesus, keep me in holy fear, so that I may not waste graces. Help me to be faithful to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Grant that my heart may burst for love of you, rather than I should neglect even one act of love for you. Yes, very good for us to prepare our today's Passion Sunday, no? To pray that Holy Week. Even though you don't have time, so much time to come to church on Thursday and Friday, if you can come to join us. You know, Thursday, is it a proper holiday?
No.
And Friday, yes, eh? Only Saturday? My goodness. Only Sunday?
Yes.
And Monday, yes.
No.
Why? not the Easter holiday. But you can ask to come out for. Can you come out? Thursday. You cannot come. You some can, some cannot. You pray hard. Okay. Anyway.